I uncovered myself and knelt on the tent floor preparing for the zipper to come undone like in a horror movie, and I was flipping through my mind on what option to take. I was the most terrified I had ever been. Fight or flight. The lights swirled faster and the voices grew louder, but still.
The Nightmare Society.
I was camping in a campground in North Georgia with some friends. It was starting to downpour, so everyone left their tents in the woods and decided to rent out one of the on-site cabins for everyone to sleep in. I decided I'd sleep in my car because they wanted to stay up late and I was tired from kayaking all day. I woke up to the rain stopping and it was kind of cold in the car and I had forgotten my sleeping bag in my tent. I checked the cabin to see if there was any room left and the light was on and everyone was fast asleep. It was 3 a.m. I didn't want to squeeze in, so I decided to trek my way back to the tent in the dark with a small penlight. In order to get to my tent, I had to pass by everyone's that they left. Mine was the last one, and even then it was 50 feet at least from the previous tent before it. I got in my tent, covered up with my sleeping bag, and prepared to catch the last few hours of sleep before sunrise. No more than 10 or 15 minutes from me getting in my tent, I began to hear a light whisper right outside the tent door. It wasn't in English, and to my recollection, it was indecipherable. As in, not in any language I had heard at all. Just as the voices started, two orbs appeared together outside the tent. They weren't the same glare as a flashlight would make, and both were of two different colors that, to the best of my ability, had no real distinct color. Just colorful. The whispers outside the tent began arguing louder between each other, but still in a hushed tone. And as the whispers grew louder, the lights began swirling around the tent. Behind me, to the side, to the front. Not in the movement that one could make with flashlights, and at this point I realized no footsteps could be heard. I uncovered myself and knelt on the tent floor preparing for the zipper to come undone like in a horror movie, and I was flipping through my mind on what option to take. I was the most terrified I had ever been. Fight or flight. The lights swirled faster and the voices grew louder, but still breathy and whispery. My mind raced and I was sweating despite the cold. And then, just like that, the lights shut off like a light switch and the whispers stopped and nothing but silence of an empty wood. I stood there as still as I could and I didn't dare go outside that tent until the sun came up. It was and still is the scariest moment of my life. I hope this makes sense. I've never written it out before. Interestingly enough, I went to a horror movie premiere recently, and there was a scene that had the voices in it, and goosebumps ran right up my arm. It was identical. The movie is called Beacon Point. There's a specific scene. It brought back the memory and sent chills up my back like I was reliving it. Keep in mind, the movie is not particularly good. Somewhere along the lines of a sci-fi original, but funny enough, after I had to talk to the director, writer. So I found him, and I asked him where he got the idea for the noises for the aliens. He told me that him and his wife camped in the North Georgia mountains, and he had an experience similar to mine with voices, and he told me that's what inspired him to make the movie. No joke. He was busy chatting with others, and immediately he stopped and said, "We're going next door for a drink together. Let's talk." The contributor, nerdy by nature, answered a question further down the post, stating, "It was a floating globe of light. Each was a different color, but I couldn't really tell the other color per se. It was like they were all colors at once, but each had a distinctive trait to discern from each other. They glided, or floated, I guess, swirling over each other. You know how when you see someone walking with a flashlight in the dark coming towards you? It's kind of shaky and it has a center to the light and sort of blooms out. It wasn't anything like that. They were very controlled movements and the light itself was solid and fluid. They circled the tent over each other, around and round. They sped up faster and the whispering sounds grew louder as they did. Further down, someone commented finding the movie on YouTube, asking for a timestamp. Nerdy by Nature listed the timestamp as to the voices he was talking about. Here's a quick clip.
Drake?
My junior year in college, I had a strange experience. First, a few details. My dorm room was attached to my roommate's so that I had to go out to hers to get to the bathroom or the hallway. She was a light sleeper, but I wasn't the type to be out late, so it didn't really matter. I had two normal operations in my life at that time and discovered that while under anesthesia, I would wake up briefly toward the end, before I was supposed to. If I get a mosquito bite, I gotta deal with it for at least a month. I'm not a fast healer. One night I had the most vivid dream of my life. I woke up briefly somewhere else and then I went right back to sleep. In this dream, I looked left, I looked right, and then passed back out. Just like if I was in surgery. I was on a hospital gurney, slightly inclined, facing the wall. There was ambient noise behind me and the echoes suggested it was a very large room. There was nothing sinister about the noises. On either side of me was a row of empty hospital gurneys. At my feet, just to my right, two people were having a conversation sitting on a bench against the wall. One was a person in a dark suit. The other was... I don't know what it was. It was small, and I saw its hands, which appeared to have darker skin, grayish. They were speaking together, so animated and excited, like two old friends who hadn't seen each other in years, and they didn't notice me wake up. I didn't recognize the dialogue, though I don't speak German, Mandarin, Russian, etc. I recognize them when I hear them. This language was wholly unrecognizable, yet the person in the suit was fluent. I went back to sleep. In the morning, I said, "Self, that was a messed up dream," and then went to the shower. As I passed my roommate, who was still in bed, she asked, "Where did you go last night?" I thought that was odd. After my shower, I started to put my makeup on and noticed something on my face. I leaned closer and could not believe what I saw. Two perfectly parallel lines, impossibly thin, impossibly perfect. There was some clear, hard gel on top, and that's what I felt. There was no blood. My own hair was thicker than the width of the cuts, yet I could see down into my skin a little ways. This was 1996. I had never seen anything like this. These days, I would say it was a laser cut topped with a liquid band-aid, but neither of those things seemed to be prevalent in those days. I said, "Okay, there's an explanation." I slept on a staple or a paperclip. I do homework in my bed all the time. I went and scoured my pillow for anything sharp and found nothing. So I got my sewing needle, a staple from some homework, and a paperclip. I dunked them in hydrogen peroxide and made cuts on my face similar to what was there. Immediately blood welled up and the skin was jagged for all three objects, and the width of all the cuts were thicker than the laser cuts. I determined that nothing in my room could have made the cuts. I didn't have an X-Acto knife, but I knew the blood would well up the same way if I did. I skipped my first class as I tried to figure out what to do. I kept obsessively feeling my face all day, in awe of the perfection of what was there and how it could have come to be there. There were only two people on campus rich enough to have a new digital camera, which meant I would have to borrow a friend's 35mm because I didn't have my own. That meant I would have to explain myself to my friend and possibly the Photoshop when the pictures came back. Who would I even give the photos to? Who would I even contact and what would I tell them? In those days, if you even said the word alien, you were a pariah. After hours of mental debate sitting on the edge of my bed, I gave up thinking about it and finished my classes for the day. I sat on the edge of my bed into the night, debating, unsure of what to do. In the wee hours of the morning, I woke up. The cuts were gone, completely healed, no trace of even a scar. I was disturbed for a few days, but then I eventually forgot about it. A few years after graduating, I decided I was going to have some dental work done, and I went to two different offices to get quotes. They both took a full facial x-ray. I had long since forgotten about my crazy dream and the cuts until I sat down across from the x-ray technician and pointed to a strange thing showing up above my teeth. I asked if I was looking at a mirror image because it was on the same side as my cuts had been, rather than the opposite side. No, I was told the x-ray was an actual, not a mirror image, so the right side of the image corresponded with the right side of my face. I pointed to the almost square image above my teeth and asked what that was. "It's just an x-ray anomaly," he said. He didn't seem bothered by it. I figured that meant that there was some damage or irregularity with the x-ray plates and let it go. Then I went to the second dentist, an orthodontist actually, and had gotten another x-ray done. You guessed it. The square was there in the exact same place. This time I didn't even try to make polite small talk or beat around the bush. I pointed to the square and said, "What is that?" This time the tech looked at me funny and said, "It's an x-ray anomaly." Then she leaned closer to me and whispered,
"We see them all the time."
In a way that gave me goosebumps. This was in Spokane, Washington. I didn't know what else to say, so I said nothing. Could it be that whatever negatives or plates or whatever they use for an x-ray were damaged in exactly the same spot in exactly the same shape? Maybe, I guess. I don't know much about x-rays. After that, I reflected on my situation. I don't feel freaked out, but I think there might be something in my face put there by somebody else. Here's what I know. We do this all the time to other species. We chase them with helicopters, shoot at them with tranquilizer darts, take rectal temperature, take blood samples, stamp radio tags in their ears with no regard to if it hurts or the trauma of the event. Or if their furry buddies will ostracize them later because they have something funky on their ear. In my situation, I was clearly well cared for. If it really happened at all. Someone was there as some kind of representative on my behalf. I was handled in such a way that if I didn't have a weird metabolism, I wouldn't have known what even happened. I never once felt pain. My cut healed instantly. If this is some kind of research-driven radio tag for the purposes of data collection, preservation of habitat or species like we would do, they did it with far more regard for me than we would have for other species on our own planet. I don't know what might happen if I get another x-ray 20 years later. I've tried to look when I go through airport security if anything shows up on the image we see in the booth, but I don't see anything. Strangely, I'm okay with this. I think it might just be science, nothing nefarious or evil. I wish my consent had been asked first, but I suppose it's hard to ask for consent when you're not even supposed to exist. This happened to my father. I've been a long-time lurker here, so I thought I'd finally share a retelling of his story. My dad was born in the early 70s. My grandfather, an environmental scientist, worked for a state college who had a research facility in Mission, Texas. So they relocated there when my dad was just a few months old. One night, my grandparents were at a banquet for the college. They hired a babysitter to watch my dad while they were at this party. At this point, he was still very much an infant, so her duties were really just to feed and change him and make sure he was good while he slept. My dad had his own room and a crib, so after he was put down for the night, the babysitter would periodically come back into the room to check on him. She did this several times throughout the evening, him always being in his crib, asleep. Around 8 p.m., just a few hours or so before my grandparents were due to come home, she went into the room to check on him and discovered he was missing. Now, keep in mind, he was less than 6 months old at the time, so getting himself out of the crib was next to impossible. She frantically turns on the lights and starts searching the room. Nothing. She goes into every single room in the house and searches. He's nowhere to be seen. Around 9 p.m., after an hour of searching the house, she decides to call the school to get a hold of my grandparents. After receiving the message, they obviously freak out and rush home. When they get there, they find the babysitter sobbing, pleading that she had searched everywhere and couldn't find my dad. Together, they all began searching the house. Still no signs of the baby. Around 10 p.m., they call the police. They arrive rather quickly and start searching the home, as well as interviewing the babysitter and my grandparents. They search every room, the garage, the attic. Then they move their search to the surrounding outdoor areas, looking for forced entry, tracks, anything. At this point, my dad has been missing for close to 4 hours. The police didn't find any evidence of forced entry, nothing out of the ordinary in and around the home. The police decide that they need to gather photos and start a town-wide search. My grandparents, frantic, provide photos and a description. The babysitter stayed the whole time, crying and apologizing, adamantly giving the same statement over and over again. While my grandparents, the head police officer, and the babysitter are exchanging the photographs and going over the next steps of the search, some other police officers are given the order to do a final sweep of the house around 1 a.m. When they go into my father's room, they find him asleep in his bed. They never found out what happened. The police, mega confused, ended up just leaving and my grandparents sent the babysitter home. Eventually, everyone just forgot about it and things went back to normal. To this day, my dad claims he has a knot in his neck that he's had ever since he can remember. Says it seems like a foreign object, but he's too scared to go get it checked out. I ask him about it sometimes and he kinda just laughs and shrugs it off. For more scary stories, please don't forget to subscribe for updates. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by leaving a review on your preferred podcast app. Or if you're listening via YouTube, please don't forget to like, and I'm always looking for feedback. Special thanks to Nerdy by Nature, Heather Ain, and Kendall Banks for allowing me to share your stories. Until next time, stay safe.